This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, January 1, 2021. The Solemnity of Mary the Mother of God by Father William Doc Holliday.
The time had fully come. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It has always befuddled me how some, and unfortunately in our day and age, even Catholics will sort of look down on paying attention to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It should all be about Jesus. That sounds very Christocentric and everything, but unfortunately it's not the way that God presents things. That second reading day from Paul's letter to the Galatians does not say when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. It says when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. He is born of a woman. The woman is an integral part of our salvation, and we never need lose sight of that. It is of the utmost importance. We should venerate and we should love beyond measure the Blessed Virgin Mother, because God sent his Son, our salvation, through her. There are many reasons why we need to love the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary, as I said, is an integral part of our salvation. When God, after the fall of Adam and Eve, speaks of the future restoration, he says that he will put enmity between the serpent and the seed of the woman. We have to understand that our Blessed Virgin Mother actually restored things by the way of her fiat to the way they were supposed to be. When we look at the history of our salvation, we see that we needed to be saved because of the transgression of our first parents. The first Adam, because of his transgression, brought misery and death into this world. Not just messing us up spiritually, but he ruined the whole thing. He ruined nature. He ruined our spirituality. He ruined our physicality. He ruined our emotions because of his transgression. And his transgression was precipitated by the deception of Eve. When we look at the wreckage that they made of creation, it would have been okay, in my view, if God had to just wash his hands of it and started over again, but he didn't. He didn't, but we never want to lose sight of the fact of what wreckage that they did leave behind. The rubble and destruction is everywhere we look in this world. Even in the New Testament, St. Paul in the letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 14, if you are so want to take notes, he says, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them also who have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam, who is the figure of him who was to come, who is that is to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. But we never want to lose sight of what it says about death reigning from Adam unto Moses. And that doesn't mean that death stops at Moses. It just means that when Moses received the law, God is very specific as to how far we have fallen. So things didn't actually get any better after Moses. They actually made us understand much more in detail how far we indeed had fallen, how much we do transgress the law of God. Something that's even more interesting and not in a pleasant manner or positive manner is that death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them also who have not sinned. Well, if they hadn't sinned, how come death reigned over them? That is how total the corruption is. This is why I'm always pointing out that we never want to fall into this modernist presentation of, you know, well, people are born just sort of middle of the road, and, you know, it's, it depends on their decisions as to whether or not they fall on the right side or the wrong side. No. We all are born dead in trespasses and sins. We are all stillborn, so to speak, spiritually. Even those who have not sinned. What he's talking about there is actual sins, sins that we commit. But death reigned over even those who had not yet sinned. That's everybody who's born in this world. Because as soon as we reach reason, we commit actual sins. So even more death reigns over us. The Blessed Virgin Mary, by virtue of her fiat, fixed this, because the fix is our Lord Jesus Christ. And no Mary, no Jesus. Eve believed the serpent and brought ruin to the world. The Blessed Virgin Mary believed the angel, and she brought restoration to the world through her Son, Jesus Christ. This is why the letter to the Galatians says what it does, because she is that integral in the involvement. When time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mother. She did nothing less than change the order of things. God created everything very good. It was orderly. Everything was as it should be. And then our first parents wrecked it. And that's an understatement. The second Eve, our Blessed Mother, she fixes this. She restores order to both the natural and the supernatural. She, in the natural world, by our baptisms and the infusion of the graces of her Son and the subsequent reception of the Eucharist, receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of her Son, the confessional that is her Son speaking the words, I absolve you from all of your sins. All of these things set forth in the natural world the things that we need to be restored supernaturally. So she covered all the bases. Just like the first Adam and Eve wrecked everything both naturally and supernaturally, she restores things naturally and supernaturally. All it is required of us is embracing this in faith and obedience. And when people seek out Jesus Christ as the shepherds did, they don't just find Jesus. They find Jesus and Mary. When the wise men are seeking Jesus, they find him at his house, and they just don't find him. They find him and his mother. This is the way God wants us to understand our salvation. This is why it is so important to love the Blessed Virgin Mary beyond all things, just short of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because whoever loves God, whoever loves our Lord Jesus Christ, must assuredly honor his mother. This love for her is reflected on the King, her Son. A lot of people present it as if, if you love the Virgin Mary, it's taking away from the love you have for Jesus. How, I'll use the word, stupid is that to say that? It is just that. Because it's like saying if you have more than one child, you love the first one less. There are a lot of people in this place that have a whole lot of kids, and they love the first one as much as they did the day that they were born. Our love is boundless. How much more boundless is the love of our Blessed Mother for us? How much more boundless should our love be for her? Just in to reciprocate, we owe her love. The commentator that I was reading as I was pondering this whole thing said that the greater the saint, the more intensely they are devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You never, ever read of a saint, he didn't really have a Marian devotion. All of the great saints had a tremendously intense devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It started with St. John the Baptist before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He leapt in his mother's womb. And it doesn't say he leapt in his mother's womb on the approach of the in utero Jesus Christ. He said that he leapt because of the salutation of his mother. He leapt to the womb because of the approach of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was indeed carrying our Lord in her womb. But nonetheless, that's what the scriptures emphasize, is the salutation of Mary and not the presence of Jesus. Not to underscore the presence of Jesus, but this is how the Holy Spirit presents it to us. He wants us to appreciate the Blessed Mother. He wants us to love her. Usually every time of this year, you know, Marian feasts always emphasize the necessity of the love for our mother to a greater or lesser extent. But there is something actually more important than our love for the Blessed Virgin Mother. That's her love for us. Well, think about it in those categories. The Blessed Virgin Mary's love for us is a source of incomprehensible solace. It is a foundation of comfort if we understand that you could, as I do quite frequently, why should the Blessed Virgin Mary love me? I'm not a good son. I have not been a good son throughout my entire life. I was actually for several decades a very bad son of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but she still loved me. This is almost incomprehensible to us, and it should be. Why should she love me? Don't start thinking highly of yourself because she loves you. You should consider this, that she loves you because she loves God first. She loves God. St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, the love of all mothers in the world does not equal the love Mary bears to each one of her children. That's a bold statement, because most of us know how much our moms love us. But I think he's correct. And the reason for it isn't because of us, it's because of her love of God. This is why we should approach the Blessed Virgin Mary and also our relationship with our brothers and sisters here, and even our neighbor, who are not necessarily our brothers and sisters, two different things, but different subject for a different day. We need to understand that we are to love our neighbors and do for them, not necessarily because of them, although that is the presentation that we get anymore. Oh, you give money to poor people, and that's, you're good to go. You give money to poor people and you don't do what you're supposed to do with them, all you have is a sinner that has a couple extra bucks. We are supposed to be salt and light in this world. When St. Peter walks up, the great boy, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. We are supposed to tell people that they can spiritually rise and walk because we have Jesus Christ. You know, and giving them money is a good thing. But first and foremost, it's about our love for God and sharing Him with them. This is the formula for our Blessed Mother's love for us. Again, when you think, why should she love me? Because she loves God first. That's the answer. So when you think about, I've done this and I've done that, and everything like that is because of her love for God. She gave her entire being to the Father and then subsequently to her Son. We need to understand that because of that, she loves us because it honors Him for sinners to be saved. It honors the Father through the Son, and we have to appreciate, again, it should be such a source of comfort for us to understand not how much I love her. Do I love her enough? Suffice it to say that she loves you because she loves God first. It's about priorities. It is truly about priorities. Again, when we step back and think about how much she loves us and her unquestionable love for God that we read from scriptures, that leads us to a sense of peace for us, or should. It's about our priorities in this world. We should love God more than anything. The current state of affairs in the church, how many places where there would be a limit to the amount of people that could come into this place. That's a lack of priorities. That's a lack of priorities. Well, people could get sick and they could... That is true. And it should not be anything that should be taken for granted that it might not happen, or presumed upon that God will protect us from it. But at the end of the day, we have priorities. today, something popped up on the screen, had a mask meme on there. That, you know, it shows charity. Does it? Yes, it does for one another, and we should. But at the end of the day, it's more important to show charity to God through the Blessed Mother. That's our priorities. That's why people gather in this place, even given the situation, because their priorities are straight. Because we've loved God more than we should love this life. We should love God more than we should love our neighbor. Never, ever lose sight, although from on high, about a year and a half ago, remember the first commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That came from very high up, and it's absolutely wrong. The summary of the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second commandment. It's priorities. Those are God's priorities. He takes precedent. He and his Blessed Mother take precedent over even, yes, our own personal safety, because that is just the right thing to do. We need to appreciate that. It is a matter of priorities. We should love the Blessed Virgin Mary, but we are very limited in our capacity to do so. She is not limited in her capacity to love us. This is what we should be attentive toward, her love for us, not necessarily our love, as fleeting and as limited as it may be. We should give her everything that we can, but we should also understand that we give her everything we can because she gives us much more than we could even comprehend. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.